Today's episode is sponsored by Noom. Dieting is tough. I know, I'm in the middle of one. I'm 20 pounds down, and I still got a lot more to go. One of the things that's so tough about dieting is there's too much advice. A million different websites and a million different diet plans, when what you really need is one diet plan, yours. That's where Noom comes in. Noom uses psychology and your own unique biological factors that affect weight loss to help you develop a weight loss plan customized for you. To date, Noom has helped more than 5 million people lose weight. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. Active first-time Noom users lose an average of 15 pounds in 15 weeks, and 95% of customers say that Noom is a good long-term solution. This is based on a 3.5-year study of actively engaged Noom users with a minimum starting BMI of 25. Individual results may vary. Visit our website for more information. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and experience Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Welcome to r/, a podcast where I read the best posts from across Reddit. Today's subreddit is r/ProRevenge, where OP destroys someone's house, career, marriage, and Netflix account. Hey everyone, before I start today's episode, I just want to say that I'm listening very closely to everyone's feedback about the new audio setup. I know that it's not quite perfect yet, but I'm trying to get it better and better with each new video, so please be patient with me over the next couple weeks as I try to improve this audio even more. Our next Reddit post is from Was This Over the Top? Background. My mom has been best friends with Eileen since they were kids, and Eileen has kind of been like an aunt to me. About 5 years ago, Eileen's husband of more than 25 years surprised her by asking for a divorce. Eileen lived about 6 hours away from my mom at the time, and I lived out of state, so I didn't find out how everything went down until a few months after the divorce was finalized. Unfortunately, Eileen's life kind of spiraled out of control after her divorce. She developed depression and a drinking problem. However, my mom and some other childhood friends were able to convince her to move back to her hometown, and they convinced her to go to rehab. I moved back home shortly before Eileen went to rehab, and because my work schedule was pretty flexible, I was able to house sit and take care of some of her stuff while she was in rehab. The first time I visited Eileen in rehab, I got the whole divorce story, and it was bad. Eileen's ex, Jeff, hadn't talked to Eileen about any of their problems prior to asking for a divorce. So Eileen just assumed that he fell out of love with her, but I was immediately skeptical about the things that Eileen told me. First, Jeff was an executive at a pharmaceutical company earning mid-six figures. He was fired from his job a year before they split up, and he decided to take a break before looking for another job. It was weird to me that Jeff decided to take a break from work because he'd always been such a workaholic. Eileen hasn't worked in years because of a disability, but she has some property and a trust that her parents left her that lets her live a comfortable life without working. Jeff and Eileen lived off money from the trust while he was unemployed. Then, after Jeff said that he wanted a divorce, he refused to go to couples therapy or talk about why he wanted the divorce. The only thing he would say was they'd grown apart and that he was sick of being with a woman like Eileen. He said Eileen's mother was right about her. To be clear, Eileen's mother was a classic narcissist, and she bullied Eileen horribly about her attractiveness, weight, intelligence, etc., which caused a lot of psychological problems that Jeff knows about. Finally, after the divorce was finalized, Jeff moved out of state, but to a state that he didn't have any family or connections in. Jeff's parents are still alive, and they're in their 80s or 90s, and Jeff is pretty close to them, so it didn't make any sense to me why Jeff wouldn't want to move to be closer to them if he wanted to move after the divorce. I didn't say anything to Eileen because I didn't want to upset her, but I thought that Jeff might have been having an affair. That he had orchestrated his unemployment to avoid paying alimony and then moved out of state to be with his mistress. I just didn't have a way to confirm it at the time. The investigation. Eileen asked me to look for a box of Jeff's stuff that he had asked her to hold for him until he moved to his new apartment. Eileen told me all the information about the box, the contents, and his new address was in an email that he sent her, and she gave me the password to her computer so I could access the email. This is where I lucked out. It turns out that Jeff had used Eileen's computer to set up his email. I accidentally clicked on the app for his email when I was searching for Eileen's email. I decided to take a peek at his email. The first thing I noticed was that he had mostly stopped using that email about 3 years ago, which was 1 year before he was fired. In a folder for digital receipts, I found a confirmation email for a dating website, which I think he saved there accidentally. I also found a verification email for a new email address. I started to put together a speculative timeline of what happened. I guessed that about 3 years ago, Jeff started having an affair, and shortly after, he decided to get a new email address to help keep the affair a secret. I wanted to access his dating profile to get more information. So I tried to use the forget the password feature to see if I could generate an email that would allow me to reset the password and log in that way. Unfortunately, the dating website didn't recognize Jeff's old email address. I thought that I might be able to get into Jeff's new email using his old email to reset the password. And then maybe I could use a new email to get into the dating website. However, I didn't want to risk locking Jeff out of his new email and alerting him until I knew more about what he'd done. And here's where I totally lucked out. The email application that Jeff downloaded to Eileen's MacBook had a note feature. And the super genius that Jeff was, he saved some of his passwords on notes. Most of his passwords weren't helpful, but I did get the password to the dating site and his Twitter and Netflix accounts. I logged into the dating site using his new email address and the password. I was able to read messages that Jeff sent to another woman before he broke up with Eileen. The new mistress sent Jeff her email address in one of those messages. I searched Facebook for the mistress's email address and I found her profile. I couldn't read her posts, but some of her photos were public. She had recent photos of her and Jeff, so I knew they were still together. She also posted a photo of a construction crew breaking ground on a new home for her and Jeff, which was very interesting because I got the impression from Eileen that Jeff didn't have a lot of money after the divorce. Here's where my background is important. At the time, I was attending law school, and I had access to the Lexis database, specifically their public records database. I had spent a good portion of one of my summer internships tracking down property records for other assets to help recover judgments for clients, so I knew how to search for public records. The mistress had purchased several acres in a wealthy suburb several months before Jeff filed for divorce, and there was no mortgage listed on the record. I had already found the mistress's LinkedIn page, so I knew that she worked as an executive assistant before she moved out of state with Jeff. She didn't advertise her salary, but I doubted she could have afforded the property with her salary alone. It is possible that she had money outside of her salary, but I suspect that Jeff gave her money to purchase the land before he filed for divorce. I also found an updated record in Lexis showing that Jeff and his mistress were the joint owners of that property. I called the county recorder office to confirm ownership of the property, dates, etc. The mistress had filed a quitclaim just 5 weeks after Jeff's divorce was finalized. I was so hesitant to try to log into Jeff's new email, so I decided to check his old email again to see if there was anything else I could investigate before moving to the new email. I didn't find anything, but I did notice that several of his passwords and his notes were identical. I decided to try to log into his new email using the same password that he used for the dating site. I figured the two accounts were created at around the same time, so if he had recycled a password, that was the most likely candidate, and it worked! His new email was a gold mine! Because the story is already getting ridiculously long, I'll list some of the relevant stuff I found. Jeff had not been fired from his old job. Instead, he had quit and just lied to Eileen. I found an email from his admin asking where to have payroll send his last check and details about a goodbye party for him. I found some emails between Jeff and a boat repair person mentioning a leak somewhere on the side of a sailboat near the engine compartment. The repair guy couldn't find the source of the leak, but he talked about mold problems in the engine on that side of the boat. I found emails between Jeff and a boat broker, which included the email address of the buyers farther down the email chain. I found an emailed report from the boat inspector, which did not include the leak, the mold damage, or the engine damage. I found emails between Jeff and his contractor about changes made to the new house's sunroom. I found emails between Jeff and his mistress. They had gotten married. I found Jeff and his new wife's shared calendar. I also found flirty emails between Jeff and a third woman. And finally, emails with info on Jeff's new employer. I downloaded all the important emails and their attachments, and I started thinking about a revenge plan. The revenge. In my mind, everything was fair game. He had lied about being fired, so I wanted him fired from his new job. I suspected that he hid his money before his separation from Eileen to help pay for his new house, so I wanted Jeff to lose his house. He cheated, so I also wanted to destroy his new relationship.
Anything I could do about the boat was a bonus. The easiest place to start was the boat. I had no idea if the source of the leak was found and repaired, or if the leak was verbally disclosed to the buyer. But I figured that Jeff was a lying jerk, so odds were good that he hid this information from the new buyer. I sent the emails between Jeff and the repairman, as well as another copy of the inspection, to the new buyer. I searched Jeff's county court website 5 months later and found out the buyers filed a suit against Jeff and the broker and the inspector.
Ha!
I couldn't figure out how to take or destroy Jeff's house, so I settled for contacting the county inspector's office to complain about the sunroom not being up to code. This is actually what prompted me to write this post, because I just found out some details about what happened with the county inspectors. It turns out the sunroom was code compliant, but the inspector did find a workshop attached to the detached garage that wasn't on the original permit or plans. The workshop had a bathroom that the contractor attached to the property's septic system after the initial inspection. Jeff had to pay a fine, and the workshop had to be removed. This ended up causing construction delays, which will become relevant below. Today's episode is sponsored by Adam and Eve. You know, I read so many stories about cheating partners and unhappy marriages. Maybe people wouldn't be in such unhappy relationships if they spent more time nurturing their love life. That's why you should check out today's sponsor, Adam and Eve. They've got toys for men, toys for women, and toys for... how should I put this? Well, it's not exactly r/am I the butthole, more like r/I'm in the butthole. And yeah, I realize that ordering adult toys can be a little scary because you may be concerned about privacy. Don't worry, Adam and Eve offers discreet and free shipping for your package. Trust me, these people are experts in your package. You can get 50% off on just about any item, along with free shipping and rush processing. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Then enter code r/ at checkout. That's r/, r/SLASH at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code r/ to get your discount, plus 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Use code r/. Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code r/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code r/ at liquidiv.com. As for destroying Jeff's marriage, my first impulse was to send the new wife the 30 emails between Jeff and the third woman, but when I searched for that woman on social media, I couldn't find anything. I had no way of knowing if the new wife actually knew that woman and wouldn't think the emails weren't important or evidence of an affair. Then I played around with the idea of updating Jeff's dating profile and sending the new profile to his wife. However, it would take too long to manufacture a fake relationship with real dates and times. And I was worried that Jeff might get an email alert from the dating website that would clue him in. I ended up just risking that the new wife wouldn't know the other woman. I pretended to be someone concerned about an affair between Jeff and this new woman. Overall, I kept the accusation vague, but I did say that Jeff and this new girl went out to eat into the movies on a few dates on Jeff's shared calendar when the new wife was out of town. I couldn't come up with a way to get Jeff fired. I rechecked his email and calendar over several weeks looking for something I could use to get him fired. Eventually, my legal residency got too busy to devote too much time to revenge, so I decided to just let it go. Eileen recently reconnected with a friend that she shared with Jeff, and that friend gave Eileen an update on Jeff. It turns out that I didn't need to worry about sabotaging Jeff's career. By good luck, the woman that Jeff had been flirting with by email was actually his assistant at his new job. And Jeff's new boss was his brother-in-law. Jeff and his new wife actually moved to her hometown so she could be close to her family and Jeff could go work for his new brother-in-law. I have no idea if Jeff was actually cheating. Jeff had told the mutual friend that he hadn't been having an affair. That didn't matter to the new wife, though, because the mistress and Jeff had gotten together while Jeff was already married. So she already didn't have a lot of trust for Jeff. She didn't believe Jeff's denials when I sent the email about him having an affair. She filed for divorce, and Jeff's brother-in-law boss fired him. And since construction was delayed, the new house wasn't finished when Jeff and the new wife divorced. They had to sell an unfinished home, and Jeff took a huge financial hit. Finally, these weren't part of my larger revenge plan, but I'm pretty petty, so I took the box of Jeff's stuff, which was mostly photographs, and just threw them away. I told Eileen that they must have just been lost in the move. I signed up both of Jeff's email addresses for a bunch of spam, newsletters, mailing lists, etc. I deleted his Netflix watch list. I posted, retweeted, and liked a bunch of adult content on his Twitter account and deleted all the accounts that he was following. I never told Eileen what I did because I wanted her to have plausible deniability and I didn't want to interfere with her recovery. She doesn't know about the boat lawsuit or the Netflix and Twitter stuff, but she did take satisfaction from his divorce and job loss. I probably would have let it all go if Jeff had only cheated because I'd always really liked Jeff. I always thought that he was nice, but I was obviously wrong about him. Nice people don't weaponize childhood abuse to mentally torture their wives. As far as I'm concerned, Jeff deserved everything that I did to him. I mean, geez, OP, I lost track of all the computer crime and fraud you had to commit to get this pro revenge. You should be careful, OP, because if you're pursuing your law license, then this story is an incredible way to lose that law license. Still though, OP, I gotta say, hats off. This is some killer revenge. Our next Reddit post is from W. Fogel. So, I have a really bad leg. I've had 13 surgeries, it's a long story, and I just started a new school. After going there for 3 weeks, I had to go in for another procedure on my leg. It's not that big of a deal to me, I've been here before. Upon my return to school, I had documentation of my restrictions as well as special amenities that were required. The big three were that I needed extra time to get from class to class, I must have someone to escort me, and I needed unrestricted access to the elevator. All of these got me into reoccurring problems, such as constant harassment by teachers and security about me being in the halls during class time. And why was my cousin with me? My cousin was serving as my escort. These first two were annoying, but easy enough to deal with. The real issue was the elevator, because I was told multiple times that, for security reasons, I couldn't have a personal key to the elevator, because the elevator shared the same key with the interior door keys. I never had any issue with this, because I was told there would always be someone on the same floor as my classes to open the elevator for me. This, of course, was untrue about 75% of the time. The lack of elevator access meant that I was always stuck in the halls when other students were going class to class, and I was consistently late due to having to wait for someone to come by and open the door for the elevator. This also meant that I would sometimes be stuck waiting through the entire lunch period, and due to all my absences, I couldn't afford to simply go to lunch after the fact. After about 3 weeks of this, I was tired of not getting to eat lunch. So I did one of the stupidest things that I could have attempted, and I tried to use the stairs. For context, I was not using crutches. I was using a full-blown walker. About halfway down the landing, I fell hard. As lunch was letting out, one of my friends found me, got someone to help pick me up, and carried me to the office. Another one of my friends went to go find my other cousin. My cousin who normally escorted me wasn't there because he was sick, so I didn't have an escort because I couldn't bear the thought of a stranger escorting me around. When I got to the principal's office, my other cousin managed to calm me down enough to give them my mother's number. Now, my mother is quite hot-tempered, but she can keep a level head normally. When she heard that I fell, she was there in record time. When she got there, she immediately asked what happened. I told her that I didn't want to miss lunch again, so I tried to use the stairs. That was a big mistake, because that really triggered my mom. She immediately turned around and demanded for the principal and VP to get their butts in there ASAP. As soon as the principal and VP walked in, she started berating them in a fashion not suitable for most adults to hear, let alone kids. When the vice principal made an offhand remark about my condition, my mother was swarmed by local sheriffs that provided security for the school's entrances and office because she physically went after the vice principal. We were escorted out, and after looking at my file, the school realized that my cousin and I had the same address, and they figured out that I didn't actually live where my address said that I lived. So, the school had my grandmother's address listed as my home address, because my grandmother picked me up and kept me until about 8 p.m. She was also the one raising my cousin after an issue between her and my aunt. The school used this discrepancy as a grounds to expel me, and they told my mom that I can be some other school's problem now. I was then enrolled at the school near my house, and I had to have yet another surgery to repair the damage that was done as a result of my fall, and redo the work of the previous procedure. I've gotten multiple statements from teachers as well as my doctors, and my parents are moving forward with a lawsuit naming the VP, principal, and the county school board. We were contacted by a lawyer who had won multiple cases against our school board, some of which went to the state Supreme Court, and he told us that he would take our case pro bono. He was getting tired of going against the board, and he thought that a case like this would have what it takes to get them to fix their mess. Fast forward 9 months, and I'm walking out of the courtroom with a settlement to cover all my procedures, as well as a written confirmation that the school would be going through a complete administrative overhaul. And the principal and vice principal would be let go and have their administrative credentials revoked in our state. The superintendent and the head of the State Board of Education let my new school know on day one about my medical requirements and my need for a personal elevator key. Long story short, my school majorly screwed up handling my medical requirements, resulting in a lawsuit that cost the head administrators their jobs, as well as a full-blown county-wide investigation of disability procedures. All right, OP, so as I was reading through this story, I didn't know exactly how it was going to end, but as the story kept going, I kept thinking to myself, that's a lawsuit. Yep, that's a lawsuit too. Yep, that's also a lawsuit. I can't believe that they let a minor consistently miss lunches because they wouldn't accommodate their disabilities. Like, are you trying to get sued? Because that's how you get sued. Also, down in the comments, we have this story from Blue Daisy Cat. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I was hit by a drunk driver in 6th grade, and my left leg was smashed all to bits. I had to go through a lot of surgeries, and I had leg braces and crutches. In my first week back at school, after months of being out, and the school being made fully aware of all my injuries and restrictions, the gym teacher thought it would be smart to lift me up by my knees to do a pull-up. That jerk pulled out all the stitches in my knee and had me bleeding like a fountain. My father had about the same reaction as your mother when he got to the school. I'm convinced the only reason why my dad wasn't arrested was because he was in his military uniform and the police cut him some slack. I hope you're doing better with your leg now. Good for you, your mother, and your lawyer for not letting them get away with their negligence. That was r/ProRevenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.